We're spending some time just laying groundwork, talking about learning to seek the face of God. We're looking at some Old Testament examples, and we're going to focus today completely and solely on Moses, because I think in a very unique way, he learned, he desired, he sought the face of God, and God revealed himself to Moses in a way that was just unusual in his time. I'm going to show you something when we get done here that's amazing, and I hope you're getting excited about this. But you know what? We have access in ways to the face of God that the Old Testament folks could only dream about. I want you to start thinking ahead. We talk about Moses. We talk about Enoch. We talk about Abraham. But you know what, folks? The veil of the temple wasn't rent till Calvary. And there was an access to the Holy of Holies that was only reserved for a select few. And now we can go boldly to the throne of grace. And so I want you to begin to think about this. I told you I was going to give you today a concrete definition. So I want to start there. Brother Jerry, what does it mean to learn to seek the face of God, or to seek the face of God? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. And here it is, number three, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. And again, number three, I think is so very important. I think there's a reason it comes in between prayer and in between prayer and repentance. I do. I believe there's a reason for that. And we've got to begin to learn and desire to seek the face of God. Every once in a while I hear a story that encourages me as a preacher. I won't mention the name. I've kind of learned not to do that much. But there was a young lady, and I don't think she knows that I know this. Another teenager came to me and said, I got a call from one of the teenage girls. And he said to me, last Sunday night when we didn't have church, this young lady was distraught that we weren't going to have church, one of our teenagers. And so she went to the website, and she looked, and since she's in the teenage girls class during this time, she said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll listen to the two Sunday school lessons Pastor Jerry preached the last 2 weeks on seeking the face of God. That got her attention, so she clicked on and listened. After she gets done listening to these two messages, she calls this other teenager, and she's weeping, and she said, I think I have found, by listening to this, what has been in my heart, what's been missing in my relationship with God. I want to find out. Now, he hasn't told us yet, but I want to find out how to seek the faith. I mean, she was in tears because in her heart was a desire. In her heart, this truth had found life. I wanted to find life in your heart. Is anybody awake? Folks, we ought to take off our shoes. No, never mind. I know some of you guys, but we're going to do walking on holy ground. If we don't get this, we don't get it. If we don't get this, we don't get it. If up to this point, it's just been, oh, yeah, that's nice, another Sunday school series, then we're in trouble. We are in trouble. If the Church of Jesus Christ can't get excited about seeking the face of God, do you think the world's going to get excited about it? And so I want you to open your heart to this. I want something to start to burn inside of you. You see, folks, here's the definition, okay? Humble, humility. Well, I think that's pretty self-explanatory. I don't think too many people in here have a trouble defining humility. Praying. Well, prayer can be request. You can request something for yourself, or prayer can be a request in the form of supplication as you request for someone else, okay? Or intercession. Now, seeking the face of God, what is that, Brother Jerry, and how does it differ from prayer? Seeking the face of God, let me define that for you. I believe that is a desire, or the desire, to establish an intimate relationship with God. The desire to establish an intimate relationship with God. Hold your place there in Exodus. I got you in Exodus chapter 3. I want you to go over to Philippians, and let me just kind of nail this down, this definition down, by reading out of Philippians chapter number 3. And I want you to open your heart to this. I want you to spend some time before the Lord. I want you to ask God. Ingredient to revival, where we're dropping the ball, is this matter of where in the church of Jesus Christ is a hunger to have a relationship with God and the willingness to pay whatever price it needs to be paid to have that intimate relationship with God. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7, Paul writes, under inspiration, he writes these things: "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Now, you might want to underline this next phrase: "that I may know him and the power of his resurrection." Not that I may get things from him. No. See, folks, there's a growth process here. You know, a lot of our elementary level interaction with God is just because we want stuff. We want things. We need help. There's nothing wrong with that. But at some point, you need to grow past that. Thank God that's always there and it's available. But at some point, I think God would like for somebody to want him. Not just want what he can give them, want him. "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." And there it is: "that I may know him." Back in verse 8, "yea, doubtless I count all things but loss." Here's the phrase: "for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." He said, you know what? I'll suffer the loss of all things. Listen, I don't know what will happen in that young lady's heart, but I'm going to guarantee you, you give me a young person that gets hungry for God. I mean, gets hungry for God. I mean, gets hungry for God. And I guarantee you, you better put a mark on that kid. God's going to put his hand on that kid. God's going to do something in that young person's life. Get hungry from God. Exodus chapter 3, let's go back there and let's look at Moses. Well, there's a lot to cover in a short amount of time. Let me just hit the highlights, amen. Exodus chapter 3, notice this is Moses and his first encounter with the presence of God. Exodus 3, verse 1, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I." Notice this, he says, draw not nigh hither. Don't forget that little phrase, draw not nigh hither. In other words, he's saying, don't come too close. And then he said, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. Brother, anytime you're in a situation where you're interacting with God, when you learn this intimate relationship, there is a holiness that takes over. There's a holiness that takes over during those times in your life. You're going to listen. You get in the presence of God. I mean, spend time in the presence of God, and there's a baptism in your life of holiness. Everybody wants to, this newfangled stuff wants to supposedly emphasize the relationship, which I'm glad they are, but it doesn't result in holiness. I'm suspect of it. They want to talk about the Spirit and Spirit fullness, but it doesn't lead to sanctification and holiness. I'm suspect of it. They may be interacting with spirits, but I don't think it's the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so the place where thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Notice this. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now that's interesting, because I want you to remember that. This first encounter was God initiating the encounter. God was initiating the encounter. We're going to see Moses grow through this process where next, listen, it's Moses that wants the encounter. Moses is scared. Moses is hiding his face. I believe what he literally did here, it doesn't say specifically, but I base it on every other interaction in Scripture with when a man got into the presence of God. I think Moses fell on his face, put his hands over his face, was prostrate or on his knees and had his face to the ground, scared to look up at God. He was in the presence of the Lord. Mercy. That's good stuff. You say, Brother Jerry, we don't live in that dispensation. Yeah, we live in a better one. Well, I'm not going to have that happen. Yeah, but you can have some things happen that Moses couldn't have happen. Now think about this. Stay with me, okay? We're on a journey here. Let's go to chapter 13 of Exodus. Chapter 13. Again, I'll just read a couple verses. I'm going to try to jump over the mountaintops here. Chapter 13, verse number 21. Here we see again the presence of the Lord. And this is, of course, the presence of God when and after Moses has now led the people out of the children of Israel. God has sent the 10 plagues. The sea, Red Sea's been split. Israelites are over into the wilderness. The Egyptians are drowned. And now in verse number 21 and 22, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. And he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Now, all right, we've gone to two stories. I've got your thinking caps on. Give me a pattern that's developing. Tell me, listen, when you get in the presence of God, near the presence of God, what are you seeing? Amen. Amen. You're going to see it again, and you're going to see it again, and you're going to see it again. You know why? Because where there's the presence of God, there's fire. That's significant. Again, one of the telltale signs of somebody who understands and is practicing seeking the face of God is that the fire burns in them. The fire burns in them. Now, there's going to be times in your Christian life where the honest truth is the fire goes down. Maybe it's just down to some coals. Maybe the coals are getting cold. You've got to know yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got to know yourself. Brothers and sisters, you've got to know yourself. Here's a very fair question. Very fair question. Is there a fire burning in your heart when it comes to the things of God here this morning? Is there? And that ought to be the norm for the Christian. Now, folks, listen, if we don't start facing some things and we just, you know, continue to reinforce the facade and go through the motions and we don't get this thing, we're not going to see revival in America. I'm just telling you right now, it's a biblical impossibility to see revival in America without a group of people, God's people, desiring to seek the face of God. So here's a fair question. Is there a fire burning inside of you? Is there a fire burning inside of you? And so that's Exodus chapter number 13. Let's go to Exodus chapter 19. Let me just read a couple verses so that in verse 2 and 3 so we can place where we're at. Now we're got to Mount Sinai. Oh, some things are going to happen here. Verse 2, for they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain. So here we begin to see where the Israelites, they camp in the wilderness of Sinai, and it's known as the wilderness of Sinai because it's located by Mount Sinai. And God is in the mount, and God is calling down to Moses, and Moses is going up the mount. You know why? Because he's going to have a meeting with God. Look over verse number 9, if you will. Verse number 9. Same chapter. And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. I'll tell you, one of the most exciting Sunday school lessons that I wrote when I was writing our Sunday school lesson series was on the Ten Commandments. And even though I enjoyed writing each of the lessons pertaining one per commandment, I think the lesson that was taught in the chapter preceding it that explained the circumstances of God meeting Moses on the mountain to deliver it may be the most exciting Sunday school lesson in that whole series. It's fascinating what's happening here. And again, isn't it interesting? God is about to come down. And so what does he instruct Moses to go tell the people? He says in verse 10, Go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down. Now listen, what you begin to see as we go through the Bible here is again, we see when the presence of God is imminent, when the presence of God is there, there needs to be and there ought to be a cleansing that takes place. It ought to cause people to hit reset buttons in their life. Reset buttons in their life. You listen, folks. I don't know about you, but I'm frustrated with this shallow, carnal, godless, sinful brand of Christianity where everybody claims to be spiritual, but their lives are full of sin. You know, it's crazy. You know, I mean, if I have one more guy stand at the door with a cigarette in one hand and a beer in the other and tell me he's saved, I am going to probably end up in jail. I'm just telling you now, take up a love offering, try to bail me out. I'd appreciate it. I'm telling you, I'm about had it. And look at you with not one ounce of shame or remorse and be angry if you dare question. What, folks, I don't know what that is, but that's not Bible Christianity. Now, I know you can be saved and drink. I know you can be saved and smoke. I don't think you can be saved and drink, smoke, and not be convicted. I mean, I don't believe that. I mean, you know, God's going to start dealing with you on those things. And I understand the growth process is a process. I understand people go through things. But God can give you victory. And this idea of claiming to be saved and claiming to have had a life-changing encounter with the presence of God, and yet nothing bothers you. You can gossip and you never feel guilty about it. You can slander and you never feel guilty about it. You know, you can cheat somebody and not even miss a beat. You can steal from God and never feel guilty. I don't, you know, what is that? That's not what's happening in this, in this chapter. And so God said to Moses, get down there and tell him, hey, better get cleaned up. I'm on my way. Verse 12, and thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about. Now notice this. Notice the boundaries. Remember when he said, don't come but so close. Take off your shoes off your feet. You're on holy ground. Now he's having them set boundaries. He's about to come down to the top of the mountain. But he's having them set some boundaries, some bounds. Verse 12, and thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves. And go ye not up into the mountain or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not an hand touch it, but ye shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man. It shall not live when the trumpet soundeth long. Then shall they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down to the mount to the people and sanctified the people and washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mountain, the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that were in the camp trembled. I don't know about you, but I can't ever read this without picturing being down in that camp and watching the presence of God descend upon the top of this mountain, and the transformation that takes place on the top of this mountain, and to think that Moses is going to leave the people and he's going to walk up into that, into the very presence of God. Now there's a fearfulness here. Do you see it in the people? Do you understand it in the people? I do. I think that there should have been in the heart of every Israelite a tearing. There ought to be part of you that want to run for your life and part of you that want to run to God. To understand the awfulness and the greatness and the power of God. And yet their God is desiring to communicate and to commune with a people that he selected out of the world. And how can people read Genesis, Exodus, Old Testament, get into the New Testament, and then again, I hate to keep, you know, hitting this thing over and over and over again, but I don't get it. I don't get it. You know, a guy can build a building, fill the stage with rock and roll instruments, show up in Bermuda shorts, give motivational speeches, and pack the place out in the name of Jesus. I'm just sitting here going, what in the world? What in the world? Never preach against sin, you know, engage in drinking and defend it, and you know, be one of the religious leaders of our time in Christianity. It's just disturbing. And but that's not the presence of God. That's not what the presence of God produces. And so we see this. Now, it says in verse 17, and Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mountain. And Mount Sinai was altogether a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in what? And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. Man, that must have been unbelievable. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain. The Lord called Moses up to the top of the mountain. Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through into the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And then again, there's this invitation only. You know what, folks, listen. That's important that you understand this. You know, all of these boundaries, all of these limitations, all of these things that's kept God's people at arm's length. I mean, we're heading towards Calvary. Do you understand we're heading towards Calvary? Do you understand the veil is going to be rent? Do you understand that God is going to be totally accessible? And because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we can walk right into the presence of God. You see how things have changed here. And Moses went up, and the Lord said to Moses, go down. He charged him, verse 22, and let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. He said, he said, don't you make sure those priests, they better be cleaned up, confessed up. He said, just because they're priests, they head up towards me, they better be clean, or I'll break forth upon them. You know, look at this. Wow, look at this. You know, it's time for independent fundamental Baptists to clean our lives up. That's the difference between humility, prayer, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. We want to do the humility, prayer, and stop. I'll humble myself enough to go to God and tell him what I need. And then I went out of there. And God said, you'll never see revival. You're never going to see the last part of that verse. And so here we see again an insistence upon cleanness, an insistence upon holiness, sanctification. That's not a bad word. Verse 24, and the Lord said to him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee, but let not the priests and the people break through to come forth, come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. Moses went down to the people and spake unto them. We're getting there. Now, we're going to go ahead and jump. Let's see here. Let's look at verse chapter 24 for a minute here. Now I'm going to hit this real quick, and then we're going to move on. I want to read all of this chapter to you, but let me just give you this, because I want to get to where we're going here. And it says in verse 9, then went up Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders of Israel. Now notice this, and they saw the God of Israel. Now this is amazing because these men were allowed close enough access. They saw the God of Israel. One of the things you're going to see, and it's not a contradiction, there are different levels. I don't know how else to say this, but there's different levels or different intensities, if you'll let me say that, use that word, or there's times where God allows himself to be seen to a certain extent. But this is pretty spectacular stuff right here, because Moses and Aaron, 70 of the elders, and they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heavens in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Also, they saw God and did eat and drink. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mountain, be there, and I will give thee the table of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. And he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come with me. You know what he was doing? He was setting things up because he was intending to be gone a while. He said, I'm going to go spend some time with God. I don't know how long it's going to be, but you know what? I better set this thing up because things are going to have to be taken care of. You know what? This doesn't sound like to me. Now I lay me down to sleep and pray the Lord my soul to keep. Doesn't sound like to me drive-by shooting prayer requests. Doesn't sound like to me 5-minute devotions. Now, folks, I'm not against any of those things necessarily. I am against us treating God the way we're treating God. I'm absolutely against the way we treat the Lord. And we've got to get a change of mind here. And I'm not standing in judgment of you. I don't know what your relationship with God is, but I just feel like as a whole, people are misusing God. Maybe it's out of ignorance, but you know what? You're not going to be ignorant after we get done with this. It's time that we decided sometimes that God's worth taking some time for. You know, he's worth taking some time for. Every once in a while, we just need to go find God, go seek God. Well, how long are you going to be gone, dear? I don't know. When God lets me go, I'll be back. If you hear that from your husband, you shouldn't sigh or stomp or roll your eyes. You ought to get on your knees after he's gone and thank God you've got a man that wants to find God. Amen. Amen. There's times you better just go out and seek the face of the Lord and seek his face and let him decide the time span. I think God's tired of living on our schedule. Verse 15, Moses went up to the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount. How long? 40 days and 40 nights. 6 days before he even heard the voice of God. 6 days before he ever even heard the voice of God. You know what God said? Just sit down. Just be in my presence for a while. Amen. Well, that's neat, isn't it? I hope that makes you hungry. Now, I'm going to go to chapter 33, but while you're going there, just pause at chapter 32 and look at it. Craziness. Chapter 32. Remember what we just read? Remember what they just saw? Remember the men that was put in charge to make sure that the laws of God that had been given up at this point were kept and that matters were taken care of and judged? Moses has gone 40 days, 40 nights. Guess what's in chapter 32? How many know? We've got an evangelical worship service going on in chapter 32. We got a rock and roll band. We got a golden calf. We got nakedness. We've got indecency. We've got wickedness. Stand outside of God. Joshua came close enough to camp to say, Sounds like they're sound of war. You could stand outside of the front door of many churches and have the same hear the same sound going on right now. How in the world does that happen? He's gone 40 days. Somewhere in this time period of being gone 40 days, everything goes crazy. You know, people begin to pressure Aaron the priest. Aaron begins to buckle, asks for the gold, makes the calf, and nonsense breaks out. Craziness. Now, folks, let me just tell all of us this. We can sit there and wag our finger like that, but that's why every single one of us have got to spend time in the presence of the Lord. I guarantee you, there wasn't no nonsense going on in Moses' life during those 40 days. You know why? He was in the presence of God. We've got to learn to seek the Lord. If you'll learn to seek the Lord, you know what? You won't be tempted. You won't be fooled. You won't be beguiled. You won't be enticed by this counterfeit Christianity that's out there. You're just not going to be enticed by it. In the presence of the Lord, there's accountability. In the presence of the Lord, there's a desire to be pure and to be clean and to be holy. And so we've got to seek the face of the Lord. And so we have this chapter 32, the problems that come about, the Moses coming down having to deal with the people, and God wanting to kill the people, and Moses having to intercede for the people, and all of these different things. Now, let me get you over to this last portion of Scripture. We've got about 7 minutes, and I want to give you what I can, and then maybe we'll pick up here tomorrow. We get then over to chapter 33, and verse 7 through 11. Amazing. Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, or far off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. It came to pass that every one which sought the Lord went out into the tabernacle of the congregation which was without the camp. It came to pass that Moses went out into the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at the tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. It came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. All the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake, this is amazing, the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joseph, the son of Nun, a young man, departed out, not out of the tabernacle. By the way, it doesn't say that he saw the face of God. He was talking about the way he spake to him. Okay, so again, there's a consistency in the Scripture here. The Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. He turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Isn't that interesting? Is there any wonder why later on this young guy is the next guy that takes over for Moses? You know why? Because even when Moses departed, because he had to take care of things, Joshua thought, I don't have anything I have to take care of right now. This is a good place. I think I'll just stay here. Amen. That's awesome. Now, let me jump down to verse 18. I'll just read this to you, and then I'm going to let you absorb it and think about it, and we'll talk about it in depth next week, okay, because I don't have time to do it justice. Let me just read to you verse 18 and on down. And he said, I beseech thee, show me, this is Moses speaking, and I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Then God said, verse 19, and he's talking about God, said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. That's important. Again, I think that there's different parts of God that he is willing to reveal himself to us at different times. You know what he said? He said, I'm going to let you see my goodness. Amen. I'd like to see the goodness of God. I will make all my goodness pass before thee. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Now notice this, what God does do here though. The Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a clift of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face thou shalt not be seen. Again, we were talking about God allowing man at some point in some time to see a certain degree of his presence. But he literally said, this is interesting, he said, now I'm going to let you see my glory. I want you to get that little crack of the rock there. And when I'm getting ready to walk by face first, I'm going to reach up ahead and I'm going to put my hand over there. So just think about that. Just think about that. I wonder if he wanted to reach out and touch it, you know. He was probably too scared. But he saw the hand of God. You ever seen the hand of God? If you ever do, you're going to want to see it again. You ever just something happened, you said, you know, that was the hand of God. I got to see the hand of God there. And you know it. I mean, you goosebump know it. That you just saw God reach out and do something. And it was God. So he got to see his hand. He went by, kind of like this. He'd reach forward, walk by, and then when he couldn't see his face, he took his hand away, and Moses got to see the, if you'll let me say that, the afterglow of God, the remnants that's left of his glory once he passes by. And he said, Moses, trust me. That's all you can take. If I gave you any more wattage than that, son, you'd be in heaven. It'd blow you to bazillion pieces. Is that a word, bazillion? That's all you can take as a human being right now. And Moses, remember that? It was him telling him to come. It was the burning bush calling out for Moses to come to the presence of God. Now here's Moses down the road. Lord, could I ask you something? Can I see your glory? Can I see your glory? How much can I see? How close can I get? What does it mean to seek the face of the Lord? What is it to seek the Lord? Seeking the Lord is the desire to establish an intimate relationship with God. Heavenly Father, take these things that we've seen and burn them into our hearts. Lord, awake within each of us a desire to be in your presence, to see your glory, God, to seek your face. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.